Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to an introduction to Link 2013. Hopefully, everybody's here at the right session. I think in the manual, it was pictures a 101 type introduction. We're probably going to be going from sort of 100 level through to 200 level and places in between as well as we go through. Also, in the agenda you would have seen is that it says no PowerPoint guaranteed on there, which is really interesting. We've got to try and build an hour's worth of demos on a hotel network to try and get through. But what we also wanted to do in this session was give people that haven't seen Link before already get an understanding of it, what it is, get a flavor for all of this thing, and people are talking about Link and deploying Link, what actually is it? But then also, you know, since we've launched Link Server 2013, and we talked about this at TechEd last year, you know, there's been a whole bunch of new stuff that's been introduced over the last 3, 6, 9 months in terms of new feature set, new capability, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're going to show you some of that stuff, talk about some of that stuff, so you can get a feel of what we've done with a product set, what can be achieved, you know, in a little bit broader than just maybe, you know, the awareness is today. And it was interesting because we said last year we'd done an introduction to Link, and we said, do we do another one now, or do people get it? And do people sort of really understand it all now? You know, and I think, given we've got a pretty full room in here to sort of look at this stuff, I think it's obviously the right choice to actually go and get through. And hopefully by focusing more on demonstration and what I said in the mini guide about there being no slides, I do have one slide just around some sort of architecture, high-level topology stuff, which we'll get onto nearer the end across there. But apart from that, we're all systems go. So with that, we shall move on.
When we come together, we are capable of great things. A better way to build, a faster way to grow, a smarter way to do business. But the world is still a big place. From high-rise conference rooms to factory floors, across thousands of miles and multiple time zones. And yet, we should be able to work together, to be together, to collaborate from anywhere, anytime, as if in the same room. We should be able to do all of this, to move between contexts, between devices, and across geographies.
Hold on 1 second. We got it.
Yes. Communication is at the core of what it means to be human. It defines us and shapes our ideas, our reality. Now, no matter where we are, we can communicate. Across our organizations, with our customers and partners, and with the most important people in our lives. All from a single secure place. This is lifelike video, voice, instant messaging, and meetings. Available from any of your devices. For communicating with virtually anyone, and bringing human connection to every conversation.
Hi, honey, how'd it go?
It went well. It went very well. I'll be home soon.
This is the best of technology, empowering the most fundamental element of communication, us. This is Link.
Always good to have a good cheesy video just to start the day across there. You know, everybody's got nice hair and makeup across. So, okay, so what was shown in that, though, was actually a really good snapshot in terms of some of the capability that we're really delivering across here. You know, what is Link? Right? Think communications, think collaboration. Think about, you know, traditionally how you do stuff on a day-to-day basis. You know, probably everybody's got, you know, at least two devices. You know, maybe a laptop, maybe a tablet, probably a smartphone, PC at home, maybe a full PC at work, whatever. You know, the combinations of devices and the explosion of devices is something where it's actually made communications probably, you know, harder to deal with as an individual, in that who do I call, what number do I call when I want to find somebody? Is it their DDI number? Is it their work phone? Is it their main number? Is it their mobile device? Do I Skype them? Do I try and find them on another platform? You know, and then how do we then collaborate around stuff? So as an individual, we're getting more and more ways and devices which are capable of communications, and more networks where we can do real-time communications, such as on the internet. You know? I don't really need now to be on this corporate wide area network or local area network to establish my communications. I can do that and have a pretty good experience when I'm sitting there working from home on a flaky New Zealand broadband connection in the middle of nowhere, and have that same experience when it comes in as well. So think of Link as all-encompassing around that. However you want to communicate, whatever modality you want to communicate in, and by that I mean instant messaging, voice, video, sharing, whether it's two people, whether it's 250 people, all coming together on a single session or collaboration session where you can mix and match and exchange it and work in real time. So that's really what Link is trying to deliver out of the box and what it does deliver out of the box. So with that, I said there was no PowerPoint apart from the video at the slide and one at the end. So we'll drop out of here and we'll bring on Link and bring on my Link client. Okay, so we're going to be showing Link today on a number of different devices, and I probably want to just end that slideshow so you can see it. It might be really, really helpful. Excuse me a second. We'll get there. Hey, finally. So we'll be showing Link on a variety of different devices and some of the capabilities across it. So right now I've got my PC client loaded up on the screen. We're going to be showing it on other touch-enabled Link clients. We're going to be showing it on mobile devices. We're going to show it on slates. Something really cool and neat we've got in here is something called the Link Room System, okay, which is a new set of capability we'll talk about and demonstrate later on, which really changes the whole meeting room experience and bridges that divide between an individual having probably a video conference from a desktop PC or a device, and then, hey, well, what about the boardroom? Or what about the meeting room when I've got 10 people sat around a table and how we bring them into the mix as well? So let's start off now on the PC client and what's new. So I'll just sort of focus a little bit again what's changed since where we were previously and what's across there. And you can see if you've seen previous versions of Link or previous versions of OCS or even LCS, because we're getting towards sort of version 6, version 7 now around this stuff. You know, LCS 2003 was sort of out there doing some presence and IM stuff back in the day. Then LCS 2005, OCS 2007. Then we had some voice capability with R2 and meeting capability. And the rebrand of Link Server 2010 came along. And what's that, just over three years ago now. And now we're here with 2013. It's come an awful long way in terms of capability. And it's much, much more than just being this client that sits there on a PC and I think, oh, I want to find somebody and I can IM them. A la Skype or something, and you're sitting at home, and or we're all doing in sort of consumer land across there. You know, fundamentally, what we're changing is being about from communicating with a device to communicating with a person, okay, in real time. So instantly on my client, I have available, I have visible to me all of my contacts on my buddies list, right? As you look through there. Now, this is no sort of demo system. This is my live, active Microsoft Link account. I'm using a Surface up here to present on and project this on, and I'm just connected via internet Wi-Fi in the hotel, right? So that's the caveat if it goes wrong around in terms of the network stuff. But you can see I'm getting real-time present states and updates coming through from various places, you know? Andrew, who's one of the Link presenters here today at the top of the screen, is in a conference call on his mobile phone. I'm seeing that in real time. So I'm getting status and information about that person, about what he's doing. Is he available right now to communicate with? Hey, well, no, he's in a conference call. And I actually know he's mobile doing that, you know, wherever he happens to be, from a Link mobile client connected in through that experience. Again, you'll see lots and lots of other different present states coming through. Ian's in a meeting, right? Calendar information, pushed through. The more and more present states you gather from applications, from other networks, from other devices, and the more and more people you give it to in your organization, the value of presence is all exponential, right? It absolutely ramps up significantly. And people get this. End users, the average end user, really start to understand and treat this as a sort of mission-critical application to them. And what you see start to happen is you deploy this thing out there, and people sort of get it, and they look at it, and it's obvious. You know, somebody's green, Steve Letvert's available, and he's video-capable. Bingo. Hey, I know if I want to communicate with him, A, he's available right now. B, if I want to do a video call with him because I want to have a face-to-face and look in the whites of his eyes, yeah, I can go and do that right now. And I can initiate a communication from wherever I happen to be, all right? So that's what Link's really exposing in terms of some of these present states when it comes through. But there's some new stuff that we really bought around 2013. So if I go and hover over Dirk here, my mouse, this is the sort of the quick communications card you'll see that's popped up on there, all right? Well, I have the ability, just by hovering over somebody in real time, to launch from there an instant message, a voice phone call, a video phone call, or I can expose what's the new people or the contact card across Office 2013, okay, just by clicking on this guy here. Let's drag this up. Now I can get more information, you know, around Dirk, you know, what it is. I can see he's got a tentative in his meeting and his calendar, et cetera, coming through there. And there's a whole bunch of additional information when it comes through. if I want to see how important Dirk is in there, I can go and get the hierarchy across there, and we can see who Dirk reports to, who else is in the team. Perhaps it's the case where you're searching for somebody, bugger, Dirk's not there, he's offline. Who else in this team can help me? Great quick way of going and finding availability of somebody. You know, we think about the business reasons of doing this, time to decision, speeding up, that type of thing, and getting rid of delay that is inherent when I send an email to Dirk. You know, if I don't know if he's there to receive or reply or get any of that stuff, you know, coming through. And of course, you know, there's other things. You know, we've now got social connectors hooked in across here as well. So if Dirk's a Facebook or LinkedIn contact of mine when it comes in, if we're not going to get blocked across here, I mean, I'll get all his latest feeds coming in from Facebook. Oh, hang on there. Maybe I probably shouldn't show that, knowing what some of the stuff that Dirk posts across there anyway. He doesn't have any feed updates across there, so Dirk's not being very social at the moment. I'm sure Mr. Letford's probably got some stuff going on in his world. You get the drift. Anyway, you can use this social connector through Outlook. It can connect through. A few challenges with that one coming through on the networks that it comes in there. But so simple stuff in terms of the contact card. Anywhere, any Office application, wherever I happen to be, I can see that, it's exposed to me, and I can connect to there, all right, when it comes in. So if I go back to Dirk, I want to communicate with him from here. It's very, very simple. As a user, one click on an IM, and I can go into an IM session from then. If I wanted to call him, as I mentioned, you may see the small drop-down arrow. Now, Link is, we talk about it as voice. It's not just PC to PC voice communications, all right? Link can and does replace your PBX, your phone systems, all right? What we call enterprise telephony, okay? Enterprise telephony traditionally is I have the phone on my desktop, I have a DDI number associated with that, and if I want to call somebody, I pick it up and I dial a number, all right? Now, as a Link user, here on this client, I have a DDI number, 09362-5826. Somebody calls that, it will come through and find me on any Link device I happen to be signed in on. This is normally where people try it in the audience, which is why I'm on Do Not Disturb, so you're going to go to my voicemail, right, as it is coming through there when it comes in. But it is a phone system. How I use that, be it as a soft phone on my PC, in this experience, just making outside calls. You know, I could just type in a phone number and make an outside call, or I could click on there and call somebody directly onto a number if I so wanted, all right? And ordinarily, you let the system route, let that find the call. I don't really need to remember or know phone numbers anymore at all, right? Once you deploy Link and you're using it for enterprise telephony, you might think, well, hey, you know, I need to dial and make phone calls to numbers. The reality is everything is coming out of my contacts list, right? This is pulling down through my local contacts and Outlook. Once we get to Exchange 2013 and we move to a unified contact store, okay, then again, we get a whole lot richer again. We can also then start to put things like high-res photos into the mix coming in there, all right? So when you video call someone, and rather than seeing their silhouette before they start their video, from being a low-res photo that we have with 2010, we can push that up and have a full high-res photo coming through there and pushing as well. So again, a much neater and cleaner experience when it comes in. But going back to that stuff, you know, when I'm here and I'm communicating with Dirk and he's online, so we can go there and we can chat, you know. There's a lot of stuff you think, well, yes, so what? Skype's doing that. You know, I'm using that at home. It's not really any different. Think here around compliance. Think here about inside the enterprise. What happens if, you know, Dirk's giving me some abuse over instant message and I want to complain to the HR person about there? Or what about if it's a contractual instant message I'm having with Dirk over IM and then, yeah, I knew that. And a contractual discussion I'm having over IM and then I'm thinking, hey, there's no callback on there. How do we actually go back and audit that stuff? All right. So once we talk about some of the server roles a little bit later on here, you know, one of the things we do, okay, is we have a monitoring server and an archiving server. Archiving server is effectively capturing centrally to a SQL database all instant message traffic, okay, if you enable it for your organization. And you can build policy around retention, you know, 7 years, whatever it is, and then discard it. So there is an audit trail, you know, single set of e-discovery tools. And one of the sessions we got going on this week is talking about e-discovery across Exchange, across Link, across SharePoint, and going in there as well, right? So everything is available to an organization in terms of criticality and being there. If I want to initiate a voice call, of course, you know, it, again, it's just simple. It's for the end user, it is just one click. You know, from wherever I happen to be, I can initiate a phone call. You see, Dirk doesn't have a high-res photo in there as yet, which is in the process of uploading all our stuff around there. If he doesn't hate me, he could answer, and we could have a voice call. Really, really simple. Okay, I'm connected. Dirk's in the room, so we're getting some good feedback. All right. Again, one more click, and I can escalate to video. across there. Do you want to take your volume down, Doug, for us? Awesome. Cheers. And I've started my video, which you can't really see because it's a little bit dark in here in the background, but you see Dirk's now video now coming up. One of the big changes we made between Link Server 2010 and Link Server 2013 is around the video codec stack. All right, we can now support 1080p high-definition video, okay, and scalable. All right, we use H.264 SVC, which is a scalable video codec. We can bridge it up and down based on the device someone's using, based on the network and availability and bandwidth we're actually getting through in this stuff. So if we had a good 1080p connection, and of course if I had a 1080p camera on there capable of driving that, which you know most integrated laptops probably aren't there yet in terms of that stuff, then we're going to have a good 1080p experience. You know, 1080p can be quite CPU intensive for processing, all right? You also start seeing on the market now, since the launch of Link 2013, is 1080p webcams, just a USB device that we have coming on there. But it actually does a lot of that hardware encoding in terms of the video encoding on the device itself, taking it away from the PC. So you don't need a super fast, brand new, sort of 6 months old PC and able to do and drive, you know, high definition video across there when it comes in. You know, so that's very, very simple. Two-person call I've got coming in there. If I want somebody else, I could search for them. Andrew's in a conference call. Who else have we got around here right now? Let's do a search. Lowitz away. See, all your demo buddies who promised to be online for you will disappear at the blink of an eye across. All right. But I can go, I can grab somebody, drag them, drag, drop, bingo, and set up a multi-party video conference across there. Now, I haven't primed Steve, so he's probably going to block me and it comes through. Well, again, one big change from 2010 to 2013 is what we've done is we now have the concept of a video gallery. Rather than having one-on-one video, okay, we have multi-party video. So you'll see my video preview coming up, Dirk's video will pop back up because we're essentially now bridging through our server when it comes in, and Steve's probably going to, well, he may accept me, and I've not primed him, so we'll see what he says if he comes off mute across there. If his video starts his video up, bingo, then we're going to get a third video coming in. And we can do up to 5 concurrent video displays, right? And what we'll do is whoever's speaking in the call, we'll put a little blue line under there so it'll switch and you can see in real time who's coming in and across in there.
Well, what's the 150 grain down
here? Well, Steve's talking, so we can mute him from there. Single right click. If I'm really getting fed up with seeing his photo, he's not really adding any value in my meeting. Oh, there he is. Now he started his video across there. Yeah. You're up on the big screen, Steve, so yeah, he can get his gun. And we all knew he was going to do that as well, if anybody that knows him across there, right, when it comes in. And that's, you know, the concept of a multi-party meeting. Geography is absolutely irrelevant. Okay, I know Dirk's in the room because, you know, he set up and he was in the room, right? Steve, I didn't know where he was. He was available. I do know by looking at the ceiling tiles he's in the office because you get that. You tend to recognize people's offices from their ceiling tiles once you start doing link and video on a laptop when it comes across there, when it comes in, all right? But you could be on anywhere, or on any network or anything coming through. So we're getting a little bit of struggle around network coming in there and a bit of lag around some of that stuff. To notify the user of that, you'll see at the top left here, if I just hover over that bar, it's like a cellular phone indicator. It's telling me the network quality is pretty bad. Whoop. Great. I'm on a hotel network, yep, with 2,000 other people all connected to the same Wi-Fi network and stuff. It's not going to be great right now across there. But it's visual indicators to users. If it gets really, really bad, we'll put a banner up there, okay? And it may drop video and say, hey, we're going to preserve audio for this call because that's the most important modality, that you have a voice communication. But we can then drop away and do that video piece across there. So I will drop away that call from there, all right? Simple, very simple, ad hoc, three-way video call. We'll do a bit of sharing later on so you can see some of that stuff, but we could have shared some content and pushed all that in there. So what else is new around here in terms of link inside the client? So while we're on this screen around presence, if I just scroll down here and find, you will see heaps and heaps of organizations, non-Microsoft organizations, okay, and you'll see presence of those guys in real time. Link has the concept of federation through what we call an edge server. All right? An edge server, which sits in your DMZ, allows you to take your link environment, federate to any other organization's link environment that may be out there. Okay? You think, oh, company X, you've got link deployed. Wouldn't it be great if we federate? Now, this is not an AD federation. I don't need to go and set up any trusts or anything around Active Directory. It's all done in link. Okay? So I add in the trusted domain who I'm going to federate with if I don't have an open federation. They do the same. Bingo. We now have secure, free, encrypted media signaling through the internet between our two organizations. So now, whenever I see somebody who happens to be online, let's see if we've got somebody coming on here. We've got a Polycom room system that's sitting there who's online, who's external to me. All right, I can see their presence in real time Single click, IM, voice, video call, if the same was the way they were inside the organization, right? Absolutely no difference from there whatsoever across there, right? Again, you know, the number of organizations that are deploying Link are growing very, very quickly. You know, in fact, if you go to the linkdirectory.net, there is a whole, almost an online white pages of organizations globally that are now deploying Link, where you can go and say, oh, we work with those guys. Wouldn't it be great if we could federate? Or we could share and collaborate on presentations seamlessly in real time. Or I could see, you know, the availability of my customers across there in real time. All right, so federation is a very, very, very powerful leg around Link. One of the things we recently introduced since the launch of Link 2013, okay, so we talked about it a lot, is the concept of federation to Skype. Okay, obviously Microsoft bought Skype probably 2 years ago or whatever it was now across there. Now we have the capability out of the box as a Link user to add a Skype contact into my Link list, okay, and see presence in real time and communicate over IM and voice today. Okay, moving forward, we'll be introducing video capability so I can do instant one-click video call to anybody on Skype and vice versa, all right? Now, you're not opening up your organization to Skype thinking, oh, if we federate with Skype, that means I'm going to get hundreds of people hassling me or hounding me or trying to come there. There is enterprise control and governance around everything you do. There's a mutual trust and acceptance of each user that you want to add in to your organization at a user level, right? So you have control around this stuff. But from a business perspective, it opens up a whole new world in terms of B2C communications or C2B communications, whichever way you look at this stuff. Think about the call center or the contact center, which, you know, we're going to be demoing this afternoon in a session after lunch around third-party apps for Link. How about if you could bring a Skype caller into a contact center from the internet, from wherever they happen to be it on a web page, be it on their Skype client. They can see that the customer service team are available in your organization. They want to reach them, click from Skype, and let's get a call going in there. And we'll be showing that this afternoon and how that works natively now through Skype out of the box coming through. So huge, huge, huge thing in terms of now the reach. You know, the penetration of Skype, you know, we normally do it in everyone we say is, you know, how many people in the room here don't use Skype or haven't used Skype? We can always get one. I'll just see one hand go across there. But it's about the norm, right? So you're looking at sort of 99% plus of people are familiar with that experience when it comes across there. Now, think of that way in terms of how that's going to enrich that communication between your customers and yourselves, or vice versa. But then, you know, how's it mean to making them sticky across there? But then also around cost. There is no cost for them to call me. There is no cost for me to call them. Nobody's picking up this bill for 0800 anymore because this call's coming in through the internet. So it just changes the whole paradigm and moves it away from traditional phone numbers and how they may have really been thought about across there. So that's some of the stuff around presence in the mix. What else have we got in the client? If I launch across here, I see my conversation history. This is just personal to me. So I can see a bunch of calls. I can see presence of the people that made those calls to me, or they could be IMs. These are just my missed ones. I click on all, I see everything going in there. So there was my last call with Dirk and Steve, which is a video call. If I want to reestablish it, bingo, one click and it'll do it all for me again. I'd have to go and do that individually anywhere it has coming across there. In there. The third tab, interesting one. Getting people comfortable that Link is a phone system, all right? So with Link, there are a myriad of devices, hundreds and hundreds of different end user phone devices, video devices, whatever you want to use across there, you know? From standalone Link IP phones to headsets that will just work with this client, wired, wireless, and all the usual sort of stuff across there, all right, when it comes in. So getting that familiarity that I'm using this for telephony, I can make and receive calls. To be honest, I don't know many people that use this, the 3x4 dial keypad, right? Because like I said, you dial by name for everything. The only time I may use that is if I click and call my bank and I need to do some PIN number entry or something like that in there, and that'll just pop up in the call window anyway when I make the call there for me, right? So it's available. But what you also see down at the bottom is the concept of visual voicemail, right? Coming from Exchange. So Exchange Unified Messaging Server role is the voicemail platform for Link, okay? So what I'm seeing in there, okay, I'm essentially using Exchange Web Services, bringing this down, I can play back my voicemails straight into my client without having to reach out and go across there. Okay. Real, real simple, but again, I'm getting presence in there. The reality is voicemail. Generally, I only get voicemails now from external people who can't see my presence. If anybody's federated with me, if there are Skype users that want to contact me, if it's anybody inside my own organization, they know if I'm in available mode or if I'm, as I am now, in do not disturb, you know, coming across into that stuff. In the July update for the Link client, we introduced another tab or view across into this. So this may be new for a lot of you that haven't seen this one. So this came through here. Now what it is, it's bringing through essentially my calendar from Outlook through into the link client. And there'll be a difference in terms of the meetings that you can visually see across there, right? So there's gray ones, which are just standard meetings, physical, go to a room somewhere. And there are online meetings or link meetings, which have been scheduled as formal meetings, and I can see those guys there in blue. All right, so if I want to go and join a meeting formally across there, I can just go on here, double click, and bingo, it's going to take me straight through into that meeting. I can choose where I want to join audio, and bingo, you know, I'll be in that conference call or meeting as it is coming in. Just so happens we've already got some other participants who have already joined that meeting. They're sitting there waiting for me when it comes in. All right, when it comes in. So that's how I can go one click from there and actually do that stuff. So that's some stuff really about the client. Okay, you've seen some ad hoc stuff. But that's the PC client. You know, but again, I mentioned there's other stuff in here as well. So let me go and grab this one here. This is my touch optimized Windows 8 link client. Okay, so normally day to day, and I'm hoping this thing's going to sign in across on this network. There's a bit of port blocking and stuff going in there. This will give me a touch-first experience. You may have seen on that video there were some of the clients that looked like big squares where I could just eye them and touch and use my finger to actually connect coming in there. That will actually come in through this guy. So he's crossing his fingers and hopefully going to sign in. While it's not in the background, what I will also do is fire up my mobile client so you can get a bit of a view around what we do there. Because we say any device, any network. There are mobile clients for the Windows 8 touch experience from a PC. There are mobile clients for iPad. There are mobile clients for Windows 8 phones that I'm projecting up on the screen now. There is an iOS client for iPhone. There is an Android client for Android smartphone devices. You know, pretty much whatever device you're using out there, there is a Link 2013 client available, and you're getting almost feature parity across the breadth of it. We're not saying that, hey, because you're using an iOS device, we're going to nobble you and it's not going to get the rich experience. Okay. The capability that I have on my Link phone and Windows phone is replicated across the Android devices. If I could start the right application, it might help. Across here. And you know, it's the same look, it's the same feel, it's everything I normally get from my desktop client. If I just go and this is the contacts view, and again, you'll see it'll start dragging down real-time presence of users across there. Okay, I can see availability of people. I can click on people, just clicking on their photo, you see it's brought up the same quick communication card, IM, voice, video, or more information about that user straight from there, all right, wherever I happen to be. There's Dirk. I want to go into his people card. Bingo. I can get more information around from Dirk all the way across. So very, very neat experience across there. You know, other stuff we have in the client, my conversation history I have coming in there. My calendar. Again, we're distinguishing between the meetings that are an online meeting, such as the blue one on there, and a non-online meeting, such as the scuff you're seeing across there in gray. And I've got great control. You know, I can go in and change my presence off there if I want to in real time from any device when it comes in. Even if I'm simultaneously ringing some devices, or I can change up where my calls are forwarded to, bingo. All of that stuff, again, you know, available to me there in the client. But just going to drop into the settings for a minute on this guy. Because one of the new things we have, and really, really powerful things on the mobile client, is the ability to do voice, video calling, and now content sharing, in terms of consuming content sharing, all from mobile device over the data channel or a WhatsApp. What does that mean? It means if I want to make a phone call from my mobile device, or I want to receive a phone call, or somebody sees I'm available on mobile and calls me, that call, if via policy I'm allowed, will come over the 3G or 4G data network, cellular network, to me. So now I've shifted my voice and my video traffic from being a voice call to being a full data call when it comes in there. Now, you can choose to lock this out via policy and say, hey, no, as a user, I don't want you doing lots of video calling from your mobile phone because, you know, your data plan's only 200 meg a month or whatever it is you're getting. And you know, video will use bandwidth, all right? Especially when we're talking high definition, lots and lots of immersive video, and Link drives lots of that stuff. Excuse me, I'll just bring that back up. Then, you know, really, you may think about, hey, we'll only allow that to use a Wi-Fi network. Okay, in terms of doing voice, doing video or doing content. I get push notifications, so even if I'm not signed into this client on the front end, I'm on my home screen, if an IM comes in or a voice call comes in to link, okay, it's going to pop that on the front of the OS. And now we do that with iOS, we do that with Android devices as we have coming through there. So it's a very, very rich client in terms of doing that capability. We'll give it a go on the network and push the demo gods to the limits and try and initiate a video call across here. So hey, now we're getting video across. I'm going to turn this sideways. Move around a bit, Dirk, so we can see your reel. Okay, Dirk's just moving his laptop across there, and you can see my video in the bottom right, which is my preview across there. Okay, simple video call, and if needs be, you know, I can actually switch camera mid-call. Okay, now this is useful for engineers in the field. So now, if you look at the small picture, I'm out using my front-facing camera on my mobile device. Hey, I'm out in the field, and I've got everyone on this call remotely in the office saying, "Hey, look at the problem I've got here. You know, Dirk, fix it, whatever it happens to be." Right. Many, many powerful sort of scenarios where video to a mobile device is, you know, is pretty compelling across there. All right. So that's just a simple one-to-one video call from that device. So no difference, whatever you happen to be doing across there. Okay, so let me drop out of this guy. Doesn't look like that one's going to get let through on the firewall. We'll leave that one. We'll show that for another day. Across there. Now, I just wanted to bring up something that's changed around the whole meeting experience around Link. Okay, so Link Online Meetings. Okay, I drop into my calendar. Okay, and you'll see that I have a Link meeting that's here and it's scheduled. But if I just want to go and create a new meeting, one click on the ribbon, new Link meeting, and it's going to pre-populate, much as it's done before, right, and put all of my meeting join information in there. I can now go and send that meeting invite out to, you know, we say sort of you get to 250 users. If you want to have more than 250 users in a call, it's a pretty big call you've got sort of going on there across. Anyway, but I can invite people who are internal. I must do some security stuff at some stage across there. It's external people. They don't need to have Link deployed. Okay, you don't need anything at all right? You can actually now join a Link 2013 meeting through a browser session, through an HTML5 browser, and I'll show that experience when we go through and show some of this meeting stuff when it has coming in there. But there's some other neat things we've now recently introduced with the updates so we have coming on. If I go and look at my meeting options, okay, what I can actually do now is change the meeting type that I'm actually going to have. If you can read down the bottom of the screen, there's buttons there now to disable instant messaging, okay, to mute all attendees, okay, to block everybody's video. So now if I'm the CEO and I want to do a video webcast from here, I can change my settings so that everybody comes in remotely, they join it, and hey, you're just going to see me, you're going to hear me. You can't even instant message each other to talk about, you know, hey, don't know what this guy's talking about here, going on there. All of that stuff gets blocked. But instead, we have a more formal Q&A manager as part of the meeting experience. Okay, so it can be captured and used centrally around question and answer. So some neat stuff that's been added beyond where we come to with Link 2013. So I'm just going to go back and just show in terms of what that join experience looks like. Right. So let me bring this guy up. If you're internal or if you're external, okay, I can go on here, right? So single click, I'm going to join there, and I get a nice message, have a great meeting, have a good meeting, we're connecting you, and we're going to go in, all right? So this is much the same as when I bought Dirk and I had Steve there and we'd done the informal stuff we had coming in. Now what we're doing, and I'm going to choose to use Link for my audio, it's going to start up the conference call, bingo, we're on a PC, Andrew's in the call, Lowit's in the call. If I want to go start my video, I didn't show this one earlier. If I just hover over my video, I can do a video peek, all right? Check your hair, check your dress, whatever it happens to be across there before you go and start your video. Then we'll go and start video in that meeting coming in there, right? If Andrew, on cue perfectly, starts his camera up, you can see we got video coming across there on that device. Now, Andrew's coming in from a PC device. I don't know where Lowit's coming in. But you see, as a user again, I've got the same control as I ever have across there, you know? If I just hover over the content one, now what you'll see is this Q&A option where I can build questions and answers or let people do questions perhaps during a presentation and actually bring that stuff coming out there as well. Andrew, do you want to got any content or anything you want to just pop up onto the screen? We'll just show the concept of, you know, we say Link's about collaborating, right? So yes, it's voice, yes, it's video, yes, it's conferencing, but how do we then collaborate around content and bring all that stuff in there as well. So if anybody's a presenter, again, if we get the bandwidth, and it looks like Lowit might be on a mobile device coming in there, we can get content sharing coming in as well, so we can truly get collaborative. Now, that could be a whiteboard, it could be a PowerPoint, okay? It could be any application that a user wants to share from their desktop that they have open. They can choose that individually. Other users don't need to have it. It's getting sent up to the link server and bridged out all the way across as it is coming across on here. Okay. He's struggling to find some appropriate content, I see, to actually put onto the screen. Closing all his web pages down across there. All right. Now you'll see, you know, as I'm talking, you can see the blue, I don't even see the blue line across there just at the bottom of my name. So you get a name across everybody that actually talks. Somebody else would have started talking, and we won't do it here just in terms of muting across and getting feedback in there. Again, we get that feedback. So you say, well, what happens if I have more than these five people in the meeting across there? Okay, so we'll build this up, and we'll have these five squares of video, again, up to 1080p. Now, if I've got another 200 people invited to the meeting, and you know they all want to be on here as well, what you'll see underneath is their picture from Link, or the silhouette, if they're not publishing a picture, okay, everywhere underneath, all right? So we call this the standing row, where people are being, you're seeing video in real time, and we have the sitting row underneath, where you actually see that coming in there as well, and it will switch, and it will transition. So as people start talking, Andrew's not talking, or Lowit's not talking, it will drop them out and bring them into the context. So you always will have up to those five people. I can go and capture, I can record that meeting if I wanted to, across here. I can start recording. It'll save it as a WMA, WMV file, okay? It'll capture audio, it'll capture video, it'll capture content or anything else. We happen to be doing any of that stuff in there as well when it comes in. I'm going to drop that meeting out. Oh, Andrew was just about to drop out, and he's just about to bring up and start a PowerPoint presentation that he was just uploading there. Sorry, Andrew. Just putting that up there for us, right? But perhaps we'll show that into this when we talk about the link room system. So that's meetings from a PC. The next guy I really want to show across there is the link room system. Now, I'm just going to bring this guy up onto the screen. See if it wakes up in a second across there. Now, the link room system come about this concept of saying that, hey, what do we bridge in terms of the meeting room and the user together? How do I go into a meeting room? How do I actually then go and join a meeting easily? But if there's 12 of us in that room, how do we get that same experience, right, when it comes in? Now, what some of you can't see down here, perhaps down here, is this. You may have heard of something called Roundtable. So this is the version 3 of Roundtable, so it's even got more Starshipy Enterprise-type look and feel to it. You can't lose the caps. It's locked on the top, and you can just push it down across if you've seen this. But this is the Polycom 65500. Okay. So this guy here is a USB device, and it's also can be Ethernet connected because it would be a standalone SIP phone. So I can rock up to a conference room, just make an audio call from this guy, and it's just a Link IP phone, all right, from there connecting out, if I just want to use it in that manner. But it's much, much more than that. So there's a series of cameras around here and the mirrors that create a 360-degree view of the meeting room. So you stick this guy in the middle of the table across there, then it will build that up into a panorama and put that in the meeting. So anybody who's remote, you know, it's not just a case of seeing one person in that meeting room they have coming in there. They're going to see everybody inside that meeting room, okay? And they're going to have context of that. And we'll show this in operation. So coming back to this meeting room, we've done a lot of studies around video, around collaboration. Typically, the average room conference, if you walk in there, you book the video room to go into your conference, and you want to collaborate on stuff, okay? It takes 8 minutes and 31 seconds to start that meeting. On the complexities of the projector, the number of buttons I need to start the meeting, how do I get the other end, how do I dial them in, are they going to dial me in, I'll call you on the phone, hold on a minute, and you know, we've all been around that. What we really wanted to do was introduce something that made that whole experience a lot, lot easier. Okay. So this is what we call the LRS. Okay. Now, this is the Polycom link room system that we have in operation right here. What you're seeing is, and what you would normally see, is at the front of your meeting room, you will either have one or two touch panels, which is this guy I've got down on the stand, down here on the left-hand side of the room, across there, okay? On the meeting room table, you will have a small surface-like between 7 and 10-inch console. The console is what I'm actually projecting up on this big screen, all right? Okay, on here. Okay. So you can see, if you can look across, there's a slightly different view and look across this thing when it comes in. So imagine this on being on like a surface-like device that's on there. So I haven't booked the meeting room. I rock up. I walk in, I just want to do some whiteboarding with somebody, right? Anything like that. That's a touch panel, but you can see on there, there's a button down there that says Start Whiteboard. If you can see at the bottom of the screen. I've also got it on here on the actual, you know, my small controller as I walk up to the table. Either way, I've not, you know, I've just booked the room, I've not scheduled anything, a link, I've not done anything whatsoever. Okay, I can just go up to this guy either via touch from the front and go in here, one click, bang. We can start doing some whiteboarding maybe with people who are in the room. All right, so this is not having people remotely. Okay, this is actually doing it here and now when it comes in. So now what you're seeing is I've got a whiteboard session loaded up onto this screen. Okay, which is touch, remember, across here. I'll come and do that in a second. But on my small console, what I've got on there is this very simplified experience around how I'm doing stuff, okay, when it comes in there. So if I want to do stuff with that whiteboard afterwards, I'm just going to drop down here and hopefully not get any feedback when it comes in, you know, and we do some, you know, the usual stuff when we go and whiteboard and you do it pen or whatever and select and all that stuff. So we've done some brainstorming in the room across there. You know, I can just go to the console in the room if I want to. Bingo, you see I've got the option there to actually email the whiteboard to me in real time, okay, when it comes in. So one click on this guy, defaults to me in there as the link room, bang, mail sent. I've now got a copy of that whiteboard. Nobody's taking photos of it with their phone because the printer on the thing doesn't work or trying to get that thing coming in, which you see, you know, is the normal sort of, you know, whiteboarding experience when it comes in. So let me just stop presenting there and just drop out and get it back to, you know, the default across there. So we see we got the calendar represented on this guy when it comes in. I've got the calendar represented on this line. So I can walk up to there, I walk into the room, because all I've done previously is scheduled and added this room to my meeting request. When I've gone request a link meeting, I've added in there the link room, I've invited you to the meeting. So now as I walk in there, okay, I don't need to take anything with me across there if I don't want to. If I've got content, great, I can plug it in via HDMI or into the console and actually share that content if I've got something locally I want to share. Or I could just rock up into the room, walk up to the, find my meeting that's on there for the day's calendar. You'll see it'll switch around time in real time as it goes there, so that'll move in the day. If other people have meetings booked, you can make them private. So if the CEO's got a meeting to discuss downsizing in there and you're going to walk into the room, you're not going to see it on the square, all right, across there. All right, so you have that privacy control and what you actually have. But now all it means is I can walk up there, walk up to the square on the front there. I'll do it from here. One click, bingo, I'm going to join the meeting. Okay. No three remote controls, no trying to get projectors and things to work. Okay. Everything there, it just powers up. Now, with this one, with the Polycom example of this, we've got this CX5500, okay, which is the round table device. Okay, you may be able to see on the screen down here. This is what you're getting front of room now, okay, when it comes in. So it's creating this panorama around there. You probably see my legs across on the, you know, on the bottom of this guy as I move around. So basically, it's creating a 360-degree stitch, and it's creating a single view, which is my preview as well. So everybody remotely can see the whole room in terms of that strip where it's created around the table, and it will switch based on voice to the direction of the person that's in the room sat around it that's actually there, all right? If I start moving up here, hopefully, and start talking in a few seconds, you're going to see the preview switch across because now the camera's tracking me there, all right? So it's very clever technology in terms of stitching all that together, but doing it in a way now with network where we're really getting up to 1080p coming in there. So I see, you know, Lowit's in the call on there right now, but you see on there, I've also got other information. Okay? I've got some content I might want to present we've pre-uploaded into the meeting, okay? If Andrew or other people join across there, we'll get their video coming into the mix, however they're coming in. But again, I can walk up to this console at any time in the room, I can change things around. Hey, perhaps I want to invite more people or bring them in. Perhaps I want to change the display. You know, I don't want to have the gallery view right now, I just want to have my speaker view coming across, right? Switching across. So you get these different views and controls, which again, the panel is in on the controller is touch, okay? So these are optimized in terms of the spacing, in terms of everything here. I walk up, push, join meeting, push, change of view, push, share content, all right? I would say even my manager could do it, but he's in the room, so I'm not going to say that at all across there, but in there. All right. So let me change that back. I can switch, and now we want to focus, and we actually want to show and bring some content in there. See, there's a couple of presentations, or is Andrew already taking over and presenting stuff in there? I'm coming up on the screen. If I change the display around on here, we can prove it to be just a presentation. We can have a gallery and content view across coming in. All right. So now we're going to get the content loaded in. So see, what now what's happened, we'll keep the panorama at the bottom, okay, when it's in there. When the content loads in, we seem to have a bit of lag around the content stuff coming in. That'll sit in the middle of the screen across there. And again, other active videos will be pushed above the content when it comes in, all right? So you can get everything in context. But again, you know, because it's based on touch, you can change that view however you actually want to do that stuff in there. So let's see if we can get this PowerPoint loaded up. So this is real, you know, we think in terms of, it's a game changer in terms of, you know, collaboration, in terms of what it actually does. In terms of, now it doesn't matter where I am, what device I happen to be on, wherever I happen to be, I can bring that, I can go there. Now I'll say, this could be one 65-inch touch panel. This could be some server connectivity issues. Let's try and retouch, just prove it's touch around there, right? So I can drive everything from the front of the room and present from there, okay, and I can change stuff. I can change my video, I can bring people out, I can mute them by a touch. All the controls that we've done from a PC, we do from this device. But as you can see on here, in terms of, hey, if I want to mute the room, if I want to go and grab and drag somebody else into this meeting, across here, let me go back to participants. In here, invite more people. Let's go and find Dirk. Okay. There's Dirk right there. Single click. Dirk's being invited now to this meeting. Okay, Dirk accepts, because we need to collaborate and bring someone else around here. You'll see him drop. So here we got the concept of using a 360-degree camera, which can be used in isolation, but in conjunction with a link room system. Now, the link room systems are only going to be available as a complete package, okay, at launch. All right, so that means you get the hardware and the software. So you get the touch controller that sits in the room. You get the, you know, you choose the sort of, the, you know, the small, medium, or large is, you know, two 65-inch screens, one 70-inch screen, or whatever the variables are on the screen real estate, you know, you have coming in there. Okay, when it comes in. So you choose what you actually want to have. The speaker arrays, the mic arrays, the camera arrays, in terms of you choose the camera. Obviously, the Polycom, the 5500 is the de facto around that stuff. Okay, bingo, you drop it into your room. To configure this thing, I don't need anything external or bridges or anything else. It's done for me. I add this guy, I give it an account in Link. This is the Link room system in room XYZ. Done. I give it an Exchange account, so we've got calendaring information coming through. That's all you need to do across there, and you have a fully functional, you know, meeting room experience as you have coming in. Okay, so that's a snapshot around some of the what's new with Link. Now, I know we got about just over 10 minutes going back, so what I'm actually going to go and do now is actually flick back and just talk a little bit around what's the back end that's actually now driving this coming in through there. So let me just switch across. And then we'll take some questions, because we've got some great prizes to give away, including a remote control crab, which everybody must have. And it comes in there. Okay, so Link Server 2013. There's some new stuff from an architectural back end. You know, we showed a bunch of new features there. Things have changed at the back as well. You know, when you think about deploying Link as a phone system or as a PBX system, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you think about, well, my phone system's critical. There's contact center applications I need to run on there. It's mission critical. If that goes down, I'm going to lose millions of dollars of business, you know, when it has coming in there, whatever it happens to be. We have a concept now of what we call paired pooling, and Andrew's got a session tomorrow talking about HA and DR, looking at Link Server 2013 in detail. So I'm not going to dive into that here. I'm just going to give you a sort of a snapshot of what you need to go out and drive and deploy Link across there. So you'll see in the middle there something called the EE pool, and this prize is an enterprise edition pool. The Link front-end server, or servers, if you're building them up for availability across there. These are the brains of everything, all right? They do my IM, they do my presence, they do my calling, they do everything that goes on. I'm bridging the conferencing content, okay, is driven by this guy. So this is the heart of everything. You know, you can drop in a single virtual instance, standard edition front-end server, and have thousands of users hanging off of it, all right? So that's the sort of scale we're talking about, doing all of the capability we've seen from voice, video, content, chat, yeah, and everything coming in this guy, all right? In the standard edition model, again, you can have it available, so you can have what we call this new concept of paired pooling, which Andrew will get into, all right? So we can get some availability in there. In an enterprise edition, you have a SQL backend in terms of, so where we go and we store the database. So we make it a lot easier now in terms of how we go, we configure, and how we replicate out to all of our environment. So I have my Link front-end server. Hey, I just say, hey, I'm going to drop one of these guys in. Bingo, sits on the Windows server, done. Yes, there's some AD attributes and requirements around there when it comes in, all right, in there. But what else do I have? When I talk about federation, when you saw presence from users externally, or if I'm working from home and I want to connect in, because I don't need any VPNs to do this stuff, I can just fire it up from anywhere. Okay, I'm essentially connecting in from the internet through into that edge server guy in there, and then coming into my link environment when it comes in. All right. So it's almost you don't have to have it in your environment, but sort of why wouldn't you have it in there? All right. Now this guy sits in the DMZ. He's not a member of the domain. Okay. We've got a whole security model around this thing when it comes in, and basically we can then get traffic through, secure traffic, all the way through from client to client when it comes in there. Okay. So everything is secure and encrypted when it comes in. So this edge server is critical. There's also some other stuff it really now does. So it allows us now to hook out. On the left, you see it says new around. We talked about Skype Federation. We have the ability with Link Server 2013 now to actually go out and have Skype Federation coming in there across. The one just under that, the logo under there, if you can't read it, is XMPP. So this is a protocol that's used by some other platforms out there for instant message and presence, things like Jabber and those sorts of things we have coming in there. XMPP used to be, in previous versions, this separate sort of server role you deployed in terms of a gateway, and it was quite complex and was hard to sort of get going for more than one other federation. Now all of that's built into the edge server and into our front end server, so all of our federation to external people is all taken care of in there. Okay. Office 365, and people say, well, what's the difference between Office 365 Link and Link, what you're doing if you deploy it in your own data center? You know, really today, the only real difference is this thing down in the middle at the bottom of the slide on there. Okay, so which is, let me just get my pointer up on here. Okay, the PSDN piece, having physical phone lines coming in from the telco, wherever the provider is, and hooking them up to Link, all right, we can't do that in Asia Pacific in Office 365 today, all right? So when you would use it, if you want to just do conferencing, multi-party, collaboration, instant message, presence, everything except dialing out to phone numbers and dialing in from phone numbers, you can do all of that through Office 365. No infrastructure to deploy, bing, bing, bing. You can be up and running before you get out for lunch, you know, across on this stuff. If you want to replace your PBX, okay, now we need to get some PSDN hooked in there. We need to get our phone lines coming in. Now, they could be traditional trunks. They could be SIP trunks. More and more customers are opting to move to having their lines delivered over IP from the telco, which is SIP trunking. Link can take a SIP trunk straight into its mediation server, so you don't need any of these sort of hardware gateways and things in the mix as well, so you can bring all that across, all right? So that brings and exports all of our PSDN. All of the feature set around call routing, you know, call PBX features, again, it's just baked in the box. It's there and available, and it's there for the users. So I'll say, anyone that says, Link's not ready to be used prime time as a telephony platform? Yeah, absolutely not. In fact, comes on Friday, we have a session, we got Lincoln University, Stuart Riley coming in, and we have Fonterra coming in, talking about how they're rolling enterprise voice and ripping out all of their PBXs across the world to deploy in Link, right? So it'd be good to get a real customer feel around that. Hey, absolutely, you can use all of this stuff when it comes in there. Now, you need ISA to do some sort of a reverse proxy, to do some sort of publishing externally across there. And again, there are other roles, things like monitoring. But again, these have been put onto the main Link front-end server when it comes in there, okay? Monitoring and archiving. There's just a database out the back where we store and capture all of that information when it has coming in there as well. So architecturally, much, much more simplified. At the back end, if any of you guys have deployed OCS 2007, I thought of that SQL geo clusters and all this complexity and things you need to get up and running, gone totally around on there. Now again, Andrew will go into the detail around how that's changed around pool pairing and SQL mirroring, all this other stuff that we now have at the back end across there. Okay, so getting to the end, just to save a few minutes in terms of some questions and get some prizes out across here. These are the other four related Link tracks we have going on this week at TechEd. Okay, so this afternoon, there's a whole party of us who are going to be talking and showing third-party value-added stuff to Link. So we've seen Link out of the box, you know, what we have here today. What about when you want a call center or a contact center? What about if you want to build applications and hook it into your line of business applications to actually drive some business process across there? How can we use presence in the mix to bring that across as well? So that's where we'll be going into a lot of detail and showing some of that stuff. Again, Andrew's covering off planning and deploying for enterprise voice. What do you need to think about? You don't want to do a telephony platform. You know, I've got this PBX today. What do I really need to think about? Lines and survivability and where I'm trunking and all this other stuff and dial plans. Come and see planning and deploying for enterprise voice. HANDR session, we've already mentioned that one a couple of times. And again, you know, the final one on Friday afternoon, it's after the party, but a real great one in terms of not Microsoft up here talking about the technology, but customers talking about their journey, how they deployed it. And they'll be honest and talk about, we didn't think about this, or these were some of the challenges we should have thought about and faced. You know, so if you're looking at planning either yours or your customers' migrations towards Link, that'll be a great session to actually come to. And so with that, of course, don't forget to go and do the evals online across the sessions as it comes in there. There are some really, really neat prizes we have coming in across there. But we also have some prizes here in person. So we've got a couple of headsets and a bag of... You can tell it's a bag. It's a T-shirt and a mug. I'm not going to say it's great prizes in the bag we have coming in there. But this is the guy that's the... I can give you crabs. Or a, okay, so some robotic... I take it I didn't hear that one across there. All right, any questions we have from the floor? And we'll give away some prizes across here. So upgraded 2010 to 2013. So it's a migration, all right? So it's more a side-by-side migration. It's not a, I'm not going to shove my DVD in there on Link 2010 and go upgrade to 2013, okay? In terms of, and there is a very well-documented process. If you pull off any of the tech ed sessions from last year, we actually done a migrating from OCS, from Link Server 2010, all the way through to 2013. It's, if you're on Link Server 2010, you know, it's not overly complex. And again, even from OCS 2007 R2, there is a migration process to get you there, which involves updating your edge server first, you know, then front end. And we got a documented process to take you through and do that. But it's not an upgrade. So I'm saying it's not dead easy, but it's not overly, you know, complex depending on what your environment looks like today. Across there. You can grab a bag for that one. Any other questions? Okay. I've only got five prizes. Who? interoperability. I mean, normally there are a number of ways you can integrate or interoperate an existing PBX platform. You know, whether it's a Cisco platform or an Avaya platform or whatever it is out there. And a lot of customers, especially the large ones like Fonterra, right, they've got a lot of legacy stuff around there that it's not Big Bang where you just throw the switch and everybody's on Link. It's either site by site or user by user to do migrations. Now, we saw how we done SIP trunks coming into Link for the PSDN on there. We can take a SIP trunk out from Link to Cisco Call Manager or an Avaya ACM or whatever the PBX is coming in there, and we treat it as a peer platform, right? So I can dial users on that platform. They can dial users on my platform. It's not a great strategy if you're looking to migrate to Link, okay, you know, and you want to get the full UC experience and everything in voice and video fully integrated. Because again, part of the beauty of Link is the ease of use is just shouldn't be underestimated. You know, typically we see 60% adoption rates for users inside 24 hours without any training or telling them anything. They just go and do it and use it because it is obvious. Oh, presence, click, you know, and go through that. Whereas you start to have multiple platforms, you're adding a whole lot of user complexity and barrier to use the stuff. You know, it's like the meeting room, right? When you walk in there and it's, I know how it works, so I'm going to forget about it, you know, and just do something else. I'll do it another way. That sort of behavior starts to happen. But in saying that, you know, our hardware partners, and again, you know, there are, you know, as part of Link as a software solution, you know, you need hardware, right? Obviously to run the servers, but you need end user devices. If you've got trunks coming in, they're not sub-trunks, you potentially need a gateway to hook those trunks in. Now, a lot of those gateways now are coming out are actually Active Directory aware. So you've got your phone lines coming into your Cisco Call Manager today. Bingo. All right. You effectively break that link and put a gateway in the mix and then fire it back up and the lines are still going through the gateway into the Cisco Call Manager. In conjunction, that gateway has a SIP connection into Link, okay, going in there, and it's Active Directory aware. So essentially now what happens, as a call comes in for a DDI number, the gateway's looking at it saying, hey, that call's for Paul Dolly. Does he live on Cisco? Does he live on Link? Oh, he's still on his Cisco phone. We'll send it that way. Now, on the background, you think, oh, I'm going to move Paul Dolly over to be on Link. So the IT team come in, bang, create me a Link account. He's enabled. Bingo. Don't do anything else. Don't need to touch the PBX or any of that infrastructure. All right? Because now when the next call that comes in down that gateway, hey, Paul Dolly's now on Link. We'll send the call there. All right. All the complexity around migrating from legacy platforms, traditional PBXs, which are how do all these dial plans and routings and all this other stuff. Again, it takes away a whole lot of that pain to actually get towards a unified comms, you know, solution as it comes in there. Cool. You win yourself a headset. Obviously, I'm saving the big one for last. So you've got two more questions. Yeah, on there.
Are there some requirements around the change 2013 to
So there is the unified contact store. It's not a hard and fast requirement. In fact, as I'm running there, I've got Link 2013, but I'm on an Exchange Server 2010 backend. Voicemail is an Exchange role, right? The Exchange Unified Messaging role is from Exchange Server, okay, when it comes in there. So Exchange Server 2010 SP1 and above in 2013. I'm not sure if we went back and done 2007, but from 2010 onwards, absolutely, you're all good around there in terms of that's the requirement from a unified messaging. You're only going to have that potentially if you're using the full enterprise voice capability of Link coming in there as well. Grab a bag. Yeah, there's one more behind it there. Yeah, there is heaps and heaps. I mean, we didn't get into the detail around. Yeah, there is heaps of policy you can set right on there. So, you know, on a per user basis, you know, on a per geography basis, on a, you know, I've got a Wi-Fi bridge going to that building over there, so that subnet, if they're in there, I can change stuff around the calling and video and how those parameters work. But individually as a user, you know, think about a student. You know, I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. You can have it on a single platform where, you know, you can lock down and give the students maybe IM and presence and some calling capability internally around there versus, a university, the lecturer who's got full access with telephony and everything else. Very, very granular in terms of how you control that. There's a second method where you think, well, do I want all the students on my, you know, in my school network across there with the rest of my staff? Perhaps we just put the students on a Office 365 cloud service, which I think for a lot of them is available sort of free. They can hang off there, and you could have a separate one which runs the school, and they can be federated. So there's a number of ways you can sort of skin that out, but all the control you want is a simple answer. So it's across there. Can I grab one of those? Any other one right at the back up there? Sorry. Pass that back for us. Yep. Virtualize absolutely everything. I mean, it's a good one, right? So, you know, you say, yeah, you know, the specs are published out there. Rule of thumb, we say, you know, with virtualization. Again, we're still doing a lot of work and testing around virtualization and what's supported. So things like live migration aren't supported today, right, across there. But in terms of running every single server role across there virtual, I think Exchange UM was the last one that wasn't, but that's now can be virtualized as well across there. So absolutely, you know, everything you can do there, you can build up in a virtual environment. For that one, you may grab a crab. That's the terminology to use across there when it comes in. Okay, I mean, we're sort of hitting on time, and so just so you guys get out to lunch, I'll be hanging around here for as long as it needs to be afterwards, so I know there's a lot more questions out there. Feel free, please come up and ask them, and we can speak again. Thank you very much.